All right, so are you ready for this? We're going to like dive into this case. Iannelli v. United States. Have you heard of this one?
Oh yeah, Iannelli. That's a big one. It really gets into this whole mess of legal logic and how the Supreme Court, tries to make sense of it all,
Yeah, it's like what happens when, you have this old legal doctrine that just crashes, right into Congress's power to make laws.
Exactly. And especially when you're talking about laws against organized crime, Congress, they really want to crack down on that stuff.
So basically, you're telling me that Congress can just like override a judicial doctrine just by like writing a really specific law. That seems kind of crazy.
Well, that's kind of what Iannelli suggests. Yeah. you wouldn't think that would be possible, but.
So this whole thing was about a gambling ring, right? And they got hit with both conspiracy to violate and violating a specific federal law, right?
Yeah, and that's where it gets tricky. It's almost like getting charged with both planning to rob a bank and then actually robbing it.
Oh, so like double jeopardy kind of vibes?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, a lot of people thought so. It's like, well, if you're running an illegal gambling ring, doesn't that already mean there was some kind of agreement? Like, you can't do that alone.
Right, exactly. So break it down for me. What exactly happened in this case? Like, paint me a picture.
Okay, so imagine, right, you and like four of your buddies decide, hey, let's start this super secret, illegal, poker game. And then, boom, the feds bust in, right?
Oh,
Yeah,
no.
and they charge you all with, well, running an illegal gambling operation. Makes sense, right? You're doing it. But then they slap you with a conspiracy charge on top of that.
Why would they do that? It seems so redundant. Like, if you're running an illegal gambling thing, isn't the agreement, like, implied? You can't have one without the other.
See, and that's where this thing called Wharton's rule comes in. This rule, basically, it says you can't get punished for both the conspiracy to do something and the actual crime itself if the crime, by its nature, needs more than one person.
Oh, okay. So, like, you can't duel by yourself. You need someone to duel with.
Exactly.
But the gambling ring, like, obviously needs more than one person, right? So how is that different from the dueling thing?
And that is the question that went all the way to the Supreme Court. Does Wharton's rule apply here? And they decided, get this, that it did not apply.
Really? Why not? That doesn't make sense.
Okay, so their reasoning was this, that the law, the way it was written, it focused on the harm from the gambling itself, not just the agreement. And then there's this whole other thing called the third party exception.
Third party exception. Okay, now I'm intrigued. Tell me more about that.
So think about it. Those gamblers, right? They need customers to actually gamble, right? Like people placing bets.
Right.
Well, those bettors, they're considered third parties. Like they're outside the core group running the whole thing. And because of those outsiders, it's not just a group activity anymore, see?
Oh, okay. I think I'm starting to get it. So because they had customers who weren't part of the main group, it changes things.
Exactly. And it gets even wilder because then you got to consider what Congress meant when they wrote the law.
Oh, like their intention.
Yeah, like what were they really going for when they wrote this Organized Crime Control Act with this whole gambling part in it? And what the court found was that Congress, they totally intended for the conspiracy and the crime itself to be like separate chargeable offenses.
Wait, so Congress knew about this Wharton's rule and still decided to make those two separate charges. Like, why would they do that? It seems so counterintuitive.
Well, the thing is, they saw conspiracy charges as a really powerful tool to fight organized crime. They wanted to be able to really go after these groups with everything they had. And Wharton's rule was, well, it was kind of getting in the way.
So we have this big battle then, right? Like established legal doctrine versus Congress really trying to stop organized crime.
Yeah.
So how did the court figure out how to balance those two?
They had to use this thing called the Blockberger test. It's all about figuring out if two offenses are actually different in the eyes of the law. Basically, each one has to require proof of something that the other one doesn't. Does that make sense?
Give me an example. I'm a very visual learner, so I got to see it to get it.
Okay, let's say there's a law against, hacking into government computers, right? And then a totally separate law against sharing the secrets you stole from those computers.
Okay, yeah.
Those are different actions, right? You have to prove different stuff for each one.
Oh, I see. So even though they're related, they're different enough that the government can charge you with both.
Yeah, exactly. And in Iannelli, the court decided that the conspiracy charge, you had to prove there was this agreement to run the gambling thing. And the other charge was about actually running the operation, proving that it involved at least five people.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So they used the Blockberger test and basically allowed Congress to like work around Wharton's rule.
Exactly. They felt Congress was being clear about what they wanted, and the two charges were different enough to be separate punishments. But of course, not everyone on the court agreed with them. There were some pretty strong dissenting opinions.
Dissenting opinions, huh? Okay, so tell me, who wasn't so sure about this whole thing?
Well, you had Justice Brennan. He was like, hey, this law, it's not exactly clear as day here, you know. He thought that if the wording is like wishy-washy, then the courts should go easy on the defendants.
Okay, so he's basically saying if Congress really wanted to get rid of Wharton's rule for these cases, they should have just said so directly.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. Like, he felt the court was, you know, giving Congress too much power to just, like, ignore these longstanding legal principles. And then you have Justice Douglas. He took it even further, bringing up this whole double jeopardy thing.
Oh, wow, double jeopardy. So how does that fit in with his case?
Well, his point was that both of the charges, they're basically using the same evidence, right? The fact that this gambling ring existed. And to him, that felt like punishing someone twice for, you know, the same basic crime. It just didn't sit right with him.
So it's like this battle then, right? Trying to be fair to the individual versus giving Congress the power to actually fight organized crime. This case really shows how tough that balance can be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And people still bring up Ianelli today when they're talking about this whole, like, you know, power struggle between the different parts of the government. But it goes even further than that. It really changed how courts think about laws, especially in criminal cases.
So what do you mean? What was the lasting effect of Ianelli? Like, what did it actually change?
Okay, so first off, it made it clear that this Wharton's rule, it's not like, you know, set in stone, like you can never break it. It's more like a guideline, a way to figure out what the people who wrote the law were trying to do.
So it's not about saying you can never do this, but more like, let's figure out what Congress was thinking.
Right, exactly. Ianelli showed that courts can't just look at the words themselves, but they have to look deeper into the history of the law and, like, the specific words and phrases they use, especially with this Wharton's rule thing. It's like, you know, you're a detective and you got to put all the pieces together to find out what the law really meant.
Yeah, that makes sense. Laws aren't always, like, super clear.
Right.
Sometimes you got to really dig in to get the real meaning.
Totally. And that brings us to another big takeaway from Ianelli. Figuring out what the law means, you know, statutory interpretation, that is so important in criminal law. Courts can't just, like, apply the law without thinking. They got to consider, like, the context, the purpose, what could happen because of their decision.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. So with Ianelli, they had to look beyond the actual words of the law and, like, consider Wharton's rule and what Congress was trying to do with the whole Organized Crime Control Act.
Exactly. They had to weigh all these different things and ultimately decided that Congress, you know, really wanting to stop organized crime, well, that was more important than following Wharton's rule exactly. And it just goes to show how much power Congress has in shaping how laws are understood and used.
Man, this case has been a wild ride. We started with this, like, seemingly simple question about double jeopardy. And now we're talking about, like, you know, the meaning of laws, what Congress wants, and who has the power. It's a lot.
And that's what makes Ianelli so interesting, right? It shows us how, you know, the courts and Congress are always kind of like pushing and pulling on each other. And their decisions, they change the legal world, you know, for years to come.
Yeah, this isn't just some like old case that doesn't matter anymore. It's still important for like understanding how the law works today.
Oh, absolutely. It's a reminder that laws, they're not just like static things, right? They're always changing, being interpreted in new ways because of, you know, new situations, new problems, and even like the political climate.
This has been a really great deep dive. Before we wrap things up, I want to give our listeners something to think about, you know, a little something to ponder.
Yeah, lay it on me. What's the big question?
So does this Ianelli decision, does it basically give Congress the power to just like get rid of judicial doctrines like Wharton's rule?
Yeah.
Just by, you know, writing laws that are clearer and more specific.
Ooh, now that is a question, right? And people who study the law, they're still trying to figure that out. It really gets to the heart of, like, you know, who has the power in our government? Because on the one hand, courts, their job is to figure out what laws mean, not to make new ones, right?
Right. But then Congress, they have the power to make laws to fix problems.
Yeah.
Even if those laws kind of go against these longstanding legal ideas.
Yes. Exactly. Ianelli is a great example of how complicated it all is, you know, this back and forth between Congress and the courts. It's like this delicate dance, you know, trying to like understand the words of the law while still respecting these legal principles we've had for so long.
So I guess the big lesson from Ianelli is that even these like really establish legal doctrines, they can be, you know, challenged and changed depending on what Congress does.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds us that, like, figuring out what the law means, it's rarely like black and white. You know, there's always this kind of like push and pull between, you know, different principles and interpretations and different ideas about like what's fair, you know.
We've gone over a lot today, that's for sure. From Wharton's rule and that Blockberger test all the way to like, you know, what Congress was thinking and this whole balance of power thing. It's been quite a journey. Any last thoughts before we wrap things up? Anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I think I would just say, like, you know, to everyone listening, if you're interested in this stuff, keep digging into other cases that deal with this, you know, back and forth between what lawmakers want and how courts interpret things. It's like a constant theme in legal history, right? And there are tons of examples out there that can help us understand how the law changes and adapts, you know, over time.
Yeah, that's a great point. So to all our listeners out there, you know, keep those legal minds sharp, stay curious, and always keep an eye out for those cases that, you know, make you think twice about what you thought you knew.
Exactly. Don't forget, the law is like a living thing, right? It's constantly being shaped by what courts decide and what lawmakers do. So, you know, stay engaged, stay informed, and never stop asking questions.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's all the time we have for today, but thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Ianelli v. United States. It's a case that's, you know, definitely given us a lot to think about. Until next time.